Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Like a responsible talk show, we do comb the wires and we look for things that might smack of a police report here or there to get some news stories or to get some interview ideas. And Mike Schaefer, who is our producer, came across this. There was an accidental shooting at a residence out here last night? In Alhambra, a man and his wife. Now, this was an accidental shooting. I want to get the guy on the line because we did track him down today, and I hope that you're okay. This is Mr. Bonafide, correct, sir?
Yes, sir. Hello.
Yes, sir. How are you today? Are you all right?
Well, knock wood. I feel a lot better than I thought I would, I guess.
Where were you shot, sir?
I was, doctor said I had a powder burns and a flesh wound or a grazed wound on my right leg.
And is that it?
Yes, that's it. And
how did this happen? Just tell me. It was an accidental thing. Your wife shot you by accident, right?
Yes, sir. Well, I'm a Korean War veteran, and I was I'm going out of town for a reunion of our crew who served on the destroyer with me. Near Busan, and I wanted my wife to feel protected. She has evidenced interest in a handgun to protect her, and I have a .22, which is a Beretta, and I said that I would show her the gun, and we've been married for 40 years. We've never been apart.
That's beautiful, sir.
Never been apart in 40 years. And so she was reasonably concerned about that.
I understand. So you were showing her this gun. This is a little, like a .22?
Yeah, it's something that I fool around with. So I wanted to give her an idea as to how to handle a handgun. And I've got this Beretta, and I was showing my wife how to hold it, how to discharge the clip, how to reload. A nice, loose, easy style on the trigger. So I gave her an idea, and I set it aside out in the garage, and I went to answer the phone, and she asked me if she could see it again. And so when I came back, I handed it to her, and she grabbed it from my hand, and it went off. I heard that the report is very distinct on a Beretta .22, and the report was very distinct. It went off. And it almost went right through my leg. It grazed me above the knee. And the police came and had to make a report. So my wife was terribly upset. And
So this was something you say she was grabbing it out of your hand?
No, I had set it down on a workbench in the garage. And
so you're a lucky guy today to be alive, huh?
Well, I consider myself to be fortunate, yes.
And what about your trip out of town?
Well, I'll be all right. I'm going to go out of town. I don't know that my wife is going to be handling the gun, though, because I really feel, I thank God that I'm okay, but as you can see, it's really no use. The one time that my wife puts her hands on a gun and I wind up with a flesh wound. So you can see it's no use.
What do you say it's no use? That you don't want your wife to handle a gun?
Oh, no, I can't do that.
Why?
Well,
I know you got shot, but, I mean, don't you think with training?
No, I'm not willing to take that chance because the next time she puts her hand on a gun, I could get a gut shot. And I'll tell you something. Getting shot in the belly with a .22 or a .45 hurts.
This is why I thought it was interesting, because there was a, you had given a couple of statements to the police and to some other reporters that you are not going to let your wife handle a gun again and that you don't think women should be allowed to.
No, I don't.
Why is that, based upon just your wife's experience with one?
Well, I'll tell you, when I just think it's too much of a chance.
In other words, there are police officers, female police officers, who use guns and use them successfully in their work. You understand?
Well, you got you see what you got there is your affirmative action.
And how so?
Well, the affirmative action deal lets all the women come in And so that's why they're police officers. But you know that there's probably a lot of men protecting them. And you don't know how many guys have been shot in station houses or...
Are you telling me that the female officers that they've hired out there quite possibly have shot people by accident?
I'm telling you that with this affirmative action deal, you don't know who's covering for who. I think a lot of men are covering for these women. A lot of departments are covering for their women. The number of women shooting up station houses is probably very high, and I just think it's based on what happened to me. I think the time has come to prohibit women from owning guns. I think there should be a 30-day waiting period for all women before they can even touch one. And I,
you know what I think is going on here, Lloyd? If
hold on. We'll get around to what you think in a minute. But I think there should be a 30-day waiting period before any woman is allowed to touch a gun, because the one time my old lady puts her hands on a 22-millimeter, she damn near blows my kneecap off. And that's all.
You know what I think is going on here?
What?
I think that you are really scared because you got shot.
Whoa. Whoa.
No, listen to me because...
No. I'm not scared of anything. I'm a Korean War veteran, 1950 to 1952, served the U.S. Navy.
And I know you're a Korean War veteran. I mean, if you just hear me out, okay? I think getting shot is scary, okay? And you probably don't want to get anywhere near a gun. And
no, I'm fine with guns. I've had guns my whole life. It's my wife having a gun, Mr. Henry, and I dare say a lot of these women whose husbands go out of town, they want to have a gun. The next thing you know, some kid's shot. Or a lot of these women who want to go skeet shooting. A friend of mine took his wife skeet shooting. And the next thing you know, they're pulling buckshot out of someone's rear end or you don't know what. So that's why I said what I said to the newspapers, that I think there should be some mandatory waiting period for these women.
All right, well, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. I just think that what you're saying is crazy, because you have women who are police officers, women who are in the armed forces, women who have gone hunting since they were kids, women who've been around guns the same way men who have been around guns their whole lives, and to say that women shouldn't be allowed to touch a gun.
Well, I'll tell you what. The women that have been around them all their lives, I understand that. You're talking about the ones that have been in the military. I understand that. But other than that, the women out there who are just homemakers is what...
All right, so you're saying a woman who's had practical experience with a gun, no problem?
Yeah, I think they should keep them. You're talking about women who've lived on farms. But these gals that live in the suburbs and they all of a sudden want to get a little gun for the nightstand, holy Jesus,
Could you maybe watch your language? You can dump that, Craig.
Dump what?
The language is a little strong.
All right, Cyril, I apologize.
But you think that the suburban women shouldn't have guns, because why?
Because the next thing you know, you're going to have one of your legs blown off. And I had, I'll tell you something. I was watching the Tour de France on TV over the weekend.
Right.
Lance Armstrong is a great young man. He lost a testicle to cancer.
Right.
And he won that race. Now, nobody criticized him for winning that race with an advantage.
And the advantage is what? Because he lost it?
Yeah, he loses the testicle. He's more aerodynamic. There's not as much drag. So no one criticized him. Why would you criticize me for wanting to get the guns out of the hands of these suburban women who wouldn't know the butt end of a rifle from the butt end of a rump roast, you know?
All right, hold on here, Lloyd. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 68 years old, and my wife shot me yesterday.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Well, there you hear it. What does he mean Lance Armstrong won the race because he's more aerodynamic without one of his testicles? Anyway, the guy got shot by his wife, so he doesn't think that women should have guns. Not all women. He says women who were raised with them, women who grew up around them, women who are in the military. He feels they've had proper training. But suburban women, housewives, he feels, should be made to wait 30 days before they could even touch a gun. Apparently, yesterday, he was showing his wife how to hold on to they got a Beretta 22, and the gun went off accidentally, and he got shot in the leg. So now, he's not going on vacation. Did you find that out, Mike? He's not going to go on vacation, okay, because he doesn't know that his wife will be safe, and he doesn't want to leave her home alone with a gun. 1-800-449-8686. You found this guy actually just going through a lot of the little police reports and things that we do every day. And there he was, big as day, down there in Alhambra. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. This is Lloyd on the line with us from Alhambra. Lloyd, yesterday, unfortunately, was involved in an accidental shooting at his house. It's tough, isn't it, when someone that you love accidentally shoots you, I guess, huh, Lloyd?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, my wife didn't mean anything. Obviously, she wasn't trying, and it scared the... I'll tell you, she was so scared. And
I can imagine she was.
She was, we literally had to get the doctor to put her to bed and to calm her down because when a weapon goes off, you know.
But you're saying women shouldn't have guns.
Most of them don't know how to use guns. And I'll tell you something. The officer that came out, Phil, and took the report was a female officer. And
So that was a problem, or?
I was nervous that she would automatically I had nerves about it. I thought she would get off a gut shot, that I would drop like Lee Harvey Oswald getting a gut shot.
How would she give you a gut shot like Ruby gave Lee Harvey Oswald?
By accidentally pulling her weapon. I don't know what she would have done.
Ruby walked right up to Oswald and stuck the gun right in his gut.
That's what I was worried about.
That the cop would accidentally stick a gun at you? Boy, I...
Well, that's the trauma that I went under, and that's what I'm trying to get people to understand from the media that I talked to today.
Man, that's a paranoia. Maywood on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am, you're on the air.
Yes. Okay, what does it mean that women should not have guns? Are not allowed to have guns?
Huh?
Why are we not allowed to have guns?
Because you might get off a shot accidentally and kill somebody.
Men are the ones that do that when they're drunk. They go crazy and rampage and start shooting people.
I don't know any of that behavior.
Oh, don't you hit on the news all the time?
Do you know anything about handling a gun?
Yes, I do.
Can you twirl it around?
Not twirl around, but know how to aim and shoot if I have to.
No, I'm talking about twirling it around and then throwing it down in a holster.
No, could you?
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Yes, I can.
And shoot yourself in the foot, right?
No, but see, you don't even know what I'm talking about.
Are you going to have it on safety or are you going to have it on off-safety?
You have it on safety. You twirl it like they did, like Wyatt Burp did.
And what if you actually didn't hit it and it comes off safety? Then what?
I don't do it by accident. That's what you women
do.
There's
always accidents. That's why your wife got shot herself.
Yeah,
accidents do happen.
Key word, my wife, not me. And that's why I think you women, let me ask you, have you ever shot a man?
No.
Okay, well, there you go.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Have you ever shot a woman?
I'll tell you, I was in the Navy in Korea, so I know what it's like to see death.
Okay, have you ever shot anyone then? That's what I'm asking.
I know what it's like to see death. That's all I want to say.
That's not the question I'm asking. I'm asking, have you ever shot anyone?
What kind of gun do you use?
38.
Where do you keep it?
In the room, put away.
Whereabouts?
I can't tell you that.
Nope, unless it's cocked and loaded under a pillow, it's no good.
Unless it's cocked and loaded.
Yeah, that's right. Under a pillow.
No, it can't be cocked and loaded. That's not safety for it to be cocked
and loaded. You know what I would do for you? You've been around a little bit. I'd issue you a cap gun for about 30 days. Just so you can get the feeling.
I think that's what you have.
All right.
I think that's what you have.
No. Well, don't you wish.
I think that's exactly what you have.
I don't have a cap gun. I've got a big one.
Okay, good.
A big shotgun play gun?
No, it's real,
honey. One of the ones with the black and red little thing down in the front end?
I'm as real can get.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thanks, Maywood. Here is Omaha on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I have a couple of comments to make. I think that the gentleman is entirely at fault at getting himself shot. My father taught me when I was nine years old. When I was 9 years old, that you never hand somebody a loaded gun, you never lay a loaded gun down. And you admitted to both of those things that you
walked away from it. I'm familiar with weapons. I don't have to do a lot of that
nonsense. I am familiar also, and I learned this when I was 9 years old.
She shot me.
You are entirely at fault at getting yourself shot because you used very poor methods in training your wife.
She shot me.
Because you did not respond properly with your gun safety.
Let me ask you a question. What the hell good is a gun if it's not loaded? And let me tell you something else.
Let me tell you,
you
something.
Put
you
the
don't ever load a gun unless you intend to pull the trigger.
That's the general idea.
And that's the blunt of it right there.
If a guy comes busted into my house and I'm fumbling around with a safety, forget it. Do you keep a gun around?
Absolutely, I do, and they are unloaded and locked up.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, there's no sense in talking to you. That's a lot of pussy stuff.
You know, I'm a champion. I am a champion shooter. I was when I was 10 years old, and I know gun safety. And, mister, you caused this yourself.
Well, I'm not talking
you
about
brought
knocking
it on yourself because of your lack of proper training.
I'm not talking about shooting bottles off a fence, mister. I'm talking about keeping one of those big, the ones that come through the door who want to rape you. And you've got to shoot them, don't you? Don't you? You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'll shoot the son of a gun right in the Royal American if I have to.
But I'm not. We're not talking about that.
You're talking about how women are not allowed to have guns.
Yeah, women shouldn't have guns because my wife almost blew my Royal American off.
I have seen some women shooters that were absolutely superb.
Oh, that's a load of
hooey. And they were trained properly.
Well, that's that affirmative action stuff.
So,
That's what causes that.
You know, I'm not going to argue with you. You're too hard-headed and too bull-headed
and very ignorant
in the handling of a gun.
That affirmative action stuff is why those women shoot good. Yeah, laugh about it.
Okay.
No,
I
am laughing.
All right, it's
about
very
it
interesting.
Because I do believe that you are totally at fault at improper training of your wife.
Well, you're wrong.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your call. You guys obviously are not seeing eye to eye.
No, I don't see eye to eye with that gentleman because I believe she pulled the. I think he's full of dew, and I told him so.
All right, Santa Rosa on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I totally disagree with him. The first time that I picked up a gun, I was 12 years old. It was a .44, and I hit bullseye.
Do you have a gun right now?
No, I don't. I have two children in the house, and...
Well, then you don't know what you're talking about, do you?
Oh, yes, I do.
Have you ever shot and killed a man?
Why would I do that?
Do you know what death looks like when it stares at you?
Oh, yeah.
Death staring up at you with... you do?
Well, sir, you're really getting off the subject here.
Ma'am, I just want to know...
You're very morbid.
No, I'm talking about my wife almost blew my leg clean off.
Well, I agree with the gentleman before me. You should not have handed her or even set down a loaded gun you were training to use the gun with.
I guess you're going to tell me I shouldn't hand it to her barrel first either.
Barrel first?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that that's wrong too.
Well, you're both wrong. You're both crazy.
Well,
how can it be safe to hand somebody a gun barrel first?
Because they can turn it around on you.
And that's another thing.
Twirl it around.
That's your other problem.
What?
Why would you be twirling a gun around?
Because that is what aficionados of guns do. They twirl it, and then they put it in their holster or twirl it.
I think you've been watching too much TV.
No, I don't watch television.
Well, something.
And I don't watch
there.
Any of the over-the-air networks anyway. I watch cable.
Well...
All right, and I think what you need to understand is, as a woman, you need to watch it. Don't shoot anybody.
Why would I shoot anybody?
Because you're a woman.
No.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
See? granddaughter. That's what I'm saying.
All right, we're back here, 1-800-449-8686. We've got Lloyd Bonafide on the line. He was accidentally shot in his home yesterday by his wife. He was showing her how to handle a .22 handgun, and apparently it went off, and you got shot. And you've given a couple of statements to the press, Mr. Bonafide, that you don't think women should be allowed to handle guns, at least women who haven't been around guns. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, I mean, what I'm saying, Phil, I don't want... My wife, when it comes to guns, is about as dumb as a handful of dirt. I mean, I love her very deeply, but I don't want to happen to my granddaughter what happened to my wife. My granddaughter sleeps with a gun under her pillow. Now,
wait a second. How old is your granddaughter?
Now, hold on for a minute. It's a loaded weapon, but the safety's on. And I want her to get to know what it's like to have a weapon there, because I don't want her to know what it's not like to have a weapon there and be fumbling around and shoot some poor SOB like Lee Harvey Ruby or Oswald.
You really think that you would have gotten gut shot? Okay, never mind. You got a granddaughter with a loaded gun.
The safety's on in the gun.
All right, here is interesting town, Blue Ball, Pennsylvania. Yes, sir, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I'd like to tell Lloyd that he should have taken his wife to the range and taught her correctly, or had someone teach her that really knew what they were doing. Because
what are you talking about?
Just let me talk, Lloyd. Now you've been
blasting
off here.
You're making it sound like I'm a dumbbell.
Yeah, you are. Because
that's
one
pretty
thing,
cold-hearted.
But you should not have had a round in the chamber, definitely. And also, when I carry a gun, I don't have the magazine pushed the whole way up in for safety's sake. And you should have not had a loaded gun laying around for your wife to pick up when she didn't know what she was doing.
Well, what's the purpose of having a gun around if you don't have a bullet in it so
you can bushwhack some
SOB?
You should never have one in the barrel, never.
Well, wait a second.
Anybody that ever handles guns knows that.
I was in Korea. I was in Korea for the Navy.
Don't tell me about Korea. I was
SOB.
On the front line.
You what?
I was on the front line in Korea. You were sitting out in the water on a boat. You didn't shoot anyone.
Wait a second.
I was on the line,
buddy. I stared death in the face.
I could tell you more about Korea than you ever read about.
Wait a minute. I was
in
the Navy.
For the other thing, I wish people like you would not have a gun. I believe in the Second Amendment, but
I got
everybody
shot.
That carries a gun should have proper training, and you certainly don't have.
You know how many?
That's all I have to tell you.
Have you ever been
Thank
shot?
You.
Have you ever been shot?
Do you belong to the NRA?
You better believe it.
Well,
and I've been shot four times.
Wait a second. You've been shot, Lloyd. You said you've been shot four times.
Yes, I have, sir.
Well, anyone that gets shot with a .22, you can't hardly kill a bee with a .22.
I got shot in the leg by my wife.
That's no weapon. You may as well throw that .22 in the garbage because you can't stop a man with a .22.
How did you get shot the other three times?
That's almost like a BB.
Oh, baloney.
How did you get shot?
.22's nothing.
How'd you get shot the other three times?
The other three times I shot myself by accident.
Oh,
there you go.
You should not be carrying a gun.
There you go. You're laughing about that, aren't you?
You bet I am.
But you got to hear the full story, okay?
I don't have to. I've heard you for the last 15 minutes.
A faulty
and you're not making any sense. You're not making any sense,
I'm
Buster.
Not making any sense. It was a faulty weapon.
How did you get shot three times?
You're laughable.
You see, this guy's if you were in front of me, you wouldn't laugh at me, because I'm a Korean War veteran. I got
that
shot.
That don't mean nothing. You were sitting out, you were swabbing the deck fore and aft. You were a swab jockey.
I was a swab jockey, huh?
Yeah, you were a swab jockey.
You know what? Oh, man. Oh, God, I hate it.
Listen to this guy, will you?
Anyway, do you have anything else to say?
I hate you.
I believe you. I don't hate you, though. You leashed on your part.
Who is this?
I'm sorry?
Who is this?
This is a radio station.
Yes, I'm sorry. This is Elk Grove.
Well, who are you, ma'am?
I'm a nurse. That was Mr. Lloyd you were talking to.
You're a nurse?
Yes, sir. Well, you were talking one of our charge?
We were just talking to a man named Lloyd.
Yes, that's right.
Does he stay with you?
Yes, he does, sir, and I'm very sorry.
Well, where is he? Is it?
It's a home. We call it sanitarium.
Okay, that explains it.
I'm sorry?
That explains it.
Well, that explains this guy. Is this man that we've just been told, that Lloyd gentleman?
Yes, sir.
Are you saying that he's psychotic?
No, he was in the TV room, and he got out and went over the payphone. And he makes phone calls. I had no idea who he calls.
Well, he called a talk show, a nationally syndicated talk show.
Is that right? What did he say?
He said he's in the Korean War, that he's been shot 4 times.
He does listen to a lot of radio. You know what I'm saying? And he listened to the talk show. He got on Larry King one night and all his show. He got on Rush Limbaugh show.
Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah, he got on too.
So he calls all the show.
Who am I speaking with?
Well, my name is Phil Henry. There's a gentleman here from Pennsylvania.
How are you gentlemen tonight?
Real fine.
Well, thanks.
I just had to disagree with him when he said women should not carry guns. Many women that are trained, very well trained, and are very capable with a gun, but they must have training.
Did he say that he's in a sanitarium,
I understand now the things he was saying. This is the first I ever called a talk show, but I couldn't take that. I had to
Did he say that women should not have guns?
Yeah.
Mr. Lloyd, come here for a minute.
What do you want?
Come here for a minute.
What do you do? Oh! You ever talk like that again?
Well, wait a minute, ma'am. You don't want to... Don't strike the old guy, okay?
No, he never talk about women like that. Because I'll kick his ass. Don't be taking the gun out of my hand.
Oh, you give me a pain in the ass. Oh!
You're a bad boy. So you were talking to him like he was sane. Is that it?
Yeah, definitely.
You were, huh?
Yes.
Now you realize he's nuttier than a fruitcake, right?
Yeah,
he's as dingy as 2 coats of paint. Don't you make no never mind about that. You want to say anything to him? Mr. Lloyd, come here for a minute.
No, I don't want to talk to him anymore. It's useless.
Okay, well, I want to say goodbye to everybody on the radio.
Back away from the phone, Lloyd.
Oh, okay. I want to say goodbye to everybody and that guy from Korea. What part of Korea are you from?
I was up above the 38th parallel.
Are you living in America
now? I was in the 45th Division, the Thunderbird Division.
Well, are you living in America now, or are you...
Yes, I am.
All righty.
Okay.
He's an American, you dumbass.
All right, sir. Well, then, thank you very much.
Got a pretty clean line from Korea tonight.
He is living in America.
Okay, thank you very much, sir, for your call. And so we're talking to a nutcase. That's great.
I just want to say, if I'm on the radio right now, I think that Al Gore is my favorite.
That's great. Thank you very much. So the next time you get a nut like that and you tell me it's a guest, would you please find out where he's calling from? Schaefer tells me, I got this really good guest for us. This guy got shot by his wife in the home. Turns out some cat calling all the radio stations, some nut impersonating a responsible homeowner. And he was a Korean War veteran, and the great thing to do is to hand a woman a gun barrel first. Well, in some instances, I can certainly answer that. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show here at 1-800-449-8686. So I almost got fired today. I had a huge fight with my wife this morning. She almost fired me from the bill job, paying the bills. That was my job. I took it over when we got married. Not because I think that's what guys are supposed to do, but see, I had lousy credit about, you know, anywhere from, you name it, like 7 years on back. And I went to one of those credit attorneys, and I got my credit back. So I've been anal about paying bills ever since. I pay them as soon as they come in the door. Actually, I pay them once a week. On Monday morning, I sit down, I get my checkbook, I get the bills, I get my little register out, I get my stamps, I get the return envelopes, I pay the freaking bill. And the fight started because she wanted to take him over. And I said, why? And she said, because you're late on your commission check to your agent. And I said, yes, I'm 4 weeks. Yes, I messed that up. I know why. And, well, you know, and then you want me to get on the phone. You want me to straighten it out with them. And I said, well, you were the one who said you wanted to be involved in my career and help in the business financial end of it. Well, I don't want to sit there and straighten out your mistakes for you. And I said, well, you know, you're going to fire me from paying the bills for that one thing? Well, and there's other things, too. Well, what other things? Well, you know, you were late on a couple of things, and you don't enter the check number in. All this bull crap just going on and on and on. On and on. My wife and I have really good fights. I mean, we really yell at each other. And one of the things that I've learned is that fighting doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get a divorce. It means you've got a nice, healthy, passionate relationship. I love my wife, and, you know, Marie and I are devoted to our marriage, and we love each other. And I didn't grow up in a house like that. I grew up in a house that when my parents fought, it meant that they were going to break up and get a divorce. That's exactly what happened. So I came to think that every time couples fought, it was the beginning of the end, which is probably one of the reasons why I didn't commit and blah, 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 blah. One of the reasons why I went through life without committing and I didn't get married till I was 44, and we can talk about that. But let's not. So there we are yelling at the top of our lungs. The kids are playing Nintendo. Oh, yeah? Well, if you try to take those bills away from me, I'm going to have my check put into my own checking account and you guys won't get any of the money. And then she starts, how dare you say that? I said, you know what? I'm not the guy that, you know, see, you're crying because I disagreed with you. And she said, well, I had a point of view. Yeah, but see, now that we're going to, you know, isn't there any compromise here? It's got to be one way or the other. This was the fight that we had. Pissed me off, if you'll pardon the language, because I felt that I was in the right. My feeling was this. You don't fire a guy from a job just because he's made a couple of mistakes. And her point, oh, yes, you do? Okay, great. Well, it depends on the mistakes, right? Like a certain show not being on the air for 6 minutes. I'm just kidding. You're not going to blow me off the job just because I wasn't entering checks into the check register. And we'll get that whole commission thing straightened out. And whatever, man. I'm not trying to stiff anybody. But what is she going to do? Is she going to take over the bills on top of all of the other business things that she does, on top of kids going to school and coming home? And why don't I help out? Guess what? I get home at 7 o'clock at night. So I can't go to the athletic booster club meeting. I can't even make the kickoff for football this fall, man. I'm going to be a half hour late for all of that crap. Everything that they did. And then they had the big kickoff basketball tournament for the kids' high school. Guess what time it started? 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Looks like I can't make that one either. So she picks up the slack and she goes to all that stuff. I'd love to do what I can. You know, I'm in here about 12 o'clock every day. We start prepping the show. And who knows, maybe we'll have some people from some network like they were in today staring at me like I'm a freaking monkey in a cage. And that's disquieting. And in any event, I said, you can't take this stuff on because what's going to happen is you're going to burn out. And then you're going to, then where are you going to be? Maria, just because you don't think people are doing the job that you want them to do doesn't mean you should take over that job. That's a control freak. That's somebody who looks around and sees how every other job is being done imperfectly. And I love her, and she does a tremendous job at what she does, but she can get overextended just like anybody else. And I'm not going to do the job that she wants me to do 100%. Doesn't mean she's going to take the job over. Yeah, you look around and you see all kinds of stuff falling apart. I do, too. I'm not going to take over everybody's freaking job. I can't. Yeah, not everybody's doing stuff the way I want them to do it. All right, so I'm just going to have to throw caution to the wind, or whatever it is, cast my fate to the wind, however that song goes, and let nature take its course. And whatever happens, happens. And you know what? We've been going along pretty good ever since we got married, so it's going to be cool. We've been married now going on whatever the hell it's been. How long have I been married? 3 years. And everything's been cool, man. You know, we're not broke. We're not in the street. The bills are getting paid. There's a roof over our heads. The kids are getting fed. And boy, are they getting fed. And everything's beautiful. So don't worry about it. Now, she's got all kinds of stuff, and she's going to go in. She's going to have some minor surgery done on Friday, which I'm taking the day off. You want to know why? When my wife goes in to have surgery, I'm with her. Not saying that other guys that aren't with their wives when they're having surgery, they aren't cool guys. I know a lot of women are going in for liposuction. It ain't exactly like you want to sit there and hold her hand in recovery after she's had a nose job. You know what I'm saying? But this is kind of a, you know, it ain't cosmetic. I figure a woman goes in for cosmetic surgery, she's on her own. She can drive herself home. I'm kidding. Sort of. But, you know, she's going in for something. I'm going to be with her on Friday, man. I'm going to be there. I'm going to, you know, get stuff for her because I love her, and that's what I do. But she takes on every job that there is. And now the latest is she took over the whole backyard project, that whole pool and that whole freaking thing out back. She took it over because I was ready to have a cardiac arrest. And she said, I'm taking it over, and she's doing a great job. She finally sat down with the contractor. They're seeing eye to eye. In fact, they may be in love. I don't know. And they're doing great, and the thing's probably going to get done with a couple of weeks. And because Phil Henry, and I can't do it all, man. And she knows that. But there are certain jobs I can do. I can do this job here, and I can do the bills. I can come to work here and do the radio show and do the bills. Those are the two things I can do. And I can get my car washed, and I can do my laundry. So that she doesn't have to wash my car and she doesn't have to do my laundry. All the other crap she wants to do, man. She wants to take kids to school. She wants to take kids to summer school now. Everybody's up at 7 o'clock around our house. You want to know why? Because one of the kids is in summer school. And another one of the kids is a counselor at some camp. Alex took over counseling three-year-olds or something. He almost got the crap beat out of him yesterday by like 5 3-year-olds. Poor kid's doing this so he can get some credit for school for 8th grade, right? So he's going to be a counselor in some camp. He got swarmed by about 10 4-year-olds. They almost beat him to a bloody pulp. They had to pull these kids off of him. And then Nick's got football, and Catherine, she just came back from this big week-long thing in camp. Marie's doing it all for everybody, okay? So I said, don't take on the bills, too. Only 6 months later to come to me and say, I'm having a nervous breakdown. I got too much to do. You know what I'm saying? Ain't happened to you yet, has it, Mike? No. That's because you come home to a house, there's no food in the refrigerator. That's how much your wife cares. I'm just kidding around, Gretchen. If you're listening, I'm only joking. And frankly, I'm only reacting to the stuff that he tells me. So please don't blame me. I'm just kidding.
Phil Henry.
Yeah.